Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Dean Abdallah, a comedian extraordinaire, my CNN buddy, 6:30. Hal Sparks, sexy liberal, hour number two today, live in studio for Hump Days with Hal. This just in, breaking news, so the president has canceled
his meeting with Putin.
Yep. His meeting with Putin. And I said I am over because of the NSA stuff.
Yep.
Snowden.
Yep.
And the Snowden and the gay stuff. I am disappointed in Russia. So I support the president.
Disappointed!
Disappointed, Russia.
Yeah, and you could see why Putin would be so anti-gay, because he's famous for lifting up little boys' shirts and kissing them on the belly.
Right.
Nothing weird about that.
No, that's a
nothing
it must be a
filmer-esque or
must be a cultural thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
This just in, he's just been offered the head coaching job at Penn State.
Hey!
Sure. Hey! Because
waka waka.
Farn. Okay.
And
or fill in your Catholic priest joke.
Exactly,
okay,
yes. And this portion of the Stephanie Miller Show is sponsored by Unity.org. Unity, a positive path for spiritual living. Are you more spiritual than religious? Unity offers practical spiritual teachings that empower meaningful living. Go to Unity.org and click on Unity Near You.
Yay. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Unity.org.
Right. Well, indeed, thank you. So I was saying, this is what it's like in here in Captain America's underpants before we start the show. Jim walks in, and the first thing he says, Chris, is...
Gee, I wonder what our cellmates are going to be like when we're arrested by the NSA for thought crimes.
That is awesome.
I'm sure we'll have some very interesting cellmates.
Sure. Maybe Alan Grayson.
Carry on a conversation. You know, maybe a little political debate.
Could I have some conspiracy music, which brings me to... We're going to have to post this on our Facebook page. One of my personal favorites, Bob Seska in the Daily Banter. Have you read this, Jim?
No.
You should. The conspiracy theory nexus of Glenn Beck, Glenn Greenwald, and Alex Jones. I believe Charlie Pierce made the same
yes.
point yesterday about, what's his name, the Boston Bomber. It's kind of a little marinade of left and right-wing conspiracy theory stuff.
Absolutely.
Gun nut stuff mixed with 9/11 stuff mixed with whatever. A lot of right-wing things in there, though, that he was reading. Tsarnaev's.
Tsarnaev.
Tamerlan's Tsarnaev. Huh. That guy.
And ironically, the people from the Caucasus are...
Right. Caucasian.
Caucasian.
Where the word
Caucasian
yes. came
right.
from. Right. Yeah, he had the, wasn't it the right, white supremacist stuff,
mm-hmm.
gun nut stuff,
yep.
9/11 stuff? Oh, and also Oklahoma City
yep.
government conspiracy. Anyway, we'll put this up from the Daily Banter, but a lot of people have made this, that I think something's happening where the left and right are coming. Do you know what I mean? Like when Glenn Greenwald, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck all say the same thing.
You know
it's
what?
Getting a little...
The fringes have always had like this
but
chewy...
But they're meeting.
This chewy center.
Right, there's a chewy nugget. We're
yeah,
in a nugget right now.
That they kind of meet at quite a bit.
Right. And I just thought Bob makes some good points. He
yeah.
writes, let's see, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, those are great points. Blah, 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 blah.
Hang on.
Brilliant.
I think I may have put these out of order. Maybe I read this during cocktail hour.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go. No, he says, if you see any remaining daylight between rapidly converging spheres of the Glenn Greenwald left and the Alex Jones right, you'll have to point it out to me, because not only have those two factions begun to merge, but they're locked together in what could be a permanent Venn diagram overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend, the U.S. government issued a travel alert. We've talked about that. You even said, you tossed out a little conspiracy nugget to Congressman Schiff.
Oh, he didn't appreciate that.
Oh, it's
that.
A belly rub for the NSA. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, cuckoo bird.
I'm going to be arrested pretty soon.
Yep. You just sealed your fate.
He has the power.
The U.S. government, that's right. And he lives right there. He can see you.
He can see me right now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this is how you know that we get up at...
Stupid o'clock.
Right. And go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
Yeah, because I just saw the president leaving the Tonight Show. That's... It's right there. NBC's right there.
Yes.
Yeah. This is early. This is like crack of ass.
I don't think he spent the night in
no.
Jay Leno's office.
No.
I think he has they nicer
have
digs.
To talk about. We have some audio.
I think he has nicer digs than that.
You know we get up at ass o'clock because
yeah.
I haven't seen Tonight Show and is Johnny Carson still the host, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Jack Parr.
Jack Parr.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's talking about the embassy closing.
He's on right before Ernie Kovacs.
Mm-hmm. Officials have credited the NSA's usage of Section 702 powers contained with the FISA Amendments Act of 2008, with the section that spawned the controversial
right.
PRISM
Thing.
Database. See, Jim's going to be in prison for what he just thought about that
in
right now. I can
for
see
PRISM.
It. Right. And so the State Department pulled the trigger and out of abundance of caution closed upwards of 25 diplomatic facilities. Yeah, here's another thing where, okay, I'll get called an Obama apologist, but he can't do anything right. It's been Benghazi, 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 and now out of abundance of caution, he's trying to prevent another one. They're like, oh, look
at this. Oh, well, security cat. Since when have you been worried about being called?
He can't do anything for the left or the right. There's only me. Stand up for him now. Okay. Anyway, Bob writes, I've always been hesitant to pay too much attention to officials who abuse the terrorist threat panic button. And I think we do. We all had PTSD from the Bush-Cheney years because they did totally abuse it.
Terrorism.
That stupid
threat
color-coded
level is at a million.
Remember that? Every day we're in orange. It's like, what?
God, it's red. It's the chartreuse.
What does it mean?
I don't know. Everyone should panic right now.
They created the bottom two colors as if we were ever going to use them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Beige.
Like,
yeah.
It's
like, when were we ever even going to think about being a blue?
What does that mean? Bring
come
a,
on.
What does that mean? Bring a sweater?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The threat level is bone.
I think Marcus Bachmann designed the color-coded almost positive. Oh, no one pays that much attention to colors.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. Mm. They need to be disciplined.
All right. Thank you,
all right,
Marcus.
The threat level has been decreased to a crew.
Mm-hmm. He said, however, it's not a matter of denying the existence of terrorists, but more of what I consider to be a rational view of the threat, rather than remaining permanently on alert when it's not always necessary. And he points out the difference. He said, nevertheless, this administration hasn't bombarded us with the same serialized fear-mongering about terrorism, nowhere near the same histrionic Mukasey cried on stage melodrama of the previous gang. In fact, Tom Ridge admitted this, remember, in his book, that he several times for political reasons was told to boost the threat level.
Yep.
So, yeah. But that's not what the Guardian's Glenn Greenwald wants you to believe. With predictably bad form, Greenwald not only attributed the actions of the State Department to a nefarious wag-the-dog false flag scenario as conventional real-world means of tamping down the anti-NSA anti-surveillance debate that's gurgled to the surface this summer, he also exploited the embassy closures and travel alert as a means of scolding Democrats, who during the Bush years criticized the suspicious timing of Homeland Security orange alerts, blah, 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 blah. But music is annoying me now. Anyway, my point is, that's exactly what I'm saying. When people say, do you trust this administration more? Yes, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a debate about all of it, but the Bush administration probably, abused it, and you can't compare the two. Remember, that was and every time Bush's poll numbers went down, we were in political season, it was, So anyway, I think different thing. This is the first time the president's closed embassies done anything like that. All right, I'm going to change my own music. So there, I touched my own box.
Okay.
And there was nothing you could do about it. In other words,
I ain't going to touch your box.
I'm no Sidney Leathers. But
no.
He talks about what Glenn Greenwald said. I mean, and this has been my point about him. I'm not saying he hasn't done good work. He always makes it about him, though.
He does.
What?
He's a bit of a narcissist.
He talks about what he said about, this is what... he said, because of me, the administration. Bob Seska's talking about, what kind of ego does that take? Oh, yes, they closed 25 embassies around the world because of you.
Well, he made Snowden take the fall while he took the credit.
Yes.
That's awful.
Seska says of what Greenwald said. In other words, now that everyone is talking about the heroic deeds of Greenwald and Snowden, boom, all of a sudden there's a suspiciously massive terrorism alert thrust into the news as a means of undermining Greenwald and Snowden, zipping right on by the tremendously delusional and narcissistic ego required to make an assumption like this. It's an absurdly speculative claim that represents another significant lurch into Alex Jones' sphere of influence. On Saturday, Jones posted a video. Did you see this on YouTube? In which he appeared to be hiding under his sheets. Seriously, it's become like this thing with a flashlight now. The story under the sheets
Like he's reading a comic book under the covers.
While describing the embassy closing as a psychological false flag, in Jones' mind, the smokescreen was intended to distract us from the latest Benghazi bombshell. But one man's Benghazi derangement syndrome is another man's NSA derangement syndrome. This is a great piece about it's the same thing. I would argue Greenwald's claim is more off the rails than Jones' video due to the fact that Greenwald looped the consequences of his own reporting into the theory, suggesting that the government was targeting his efforts personally, that the government decided to rub Glenn Greenwald's nose in, as they've done so by staging a fake terrorism alert shouted from the mountaintops while also initiating the closure of 24 embassies. Remarkable and pathetic. And by the way, any Democrats who believe the alert is genuine contra Greenwald are clearly Obama bot hypocrites. That would be me, I'm guessing.
You. Yes.
All right. Dead. Anyway. All right. I'll send it to you. We'll post it up on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, I understand theatrics in order to get some attention. I understand that. But Greenwald's theatrics are so ham-handed and so about himself that they're just turning everybody against him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, there's more. But he brings it full circle. He says, not surprisingly, Glenn Beck, not Greenwald, said the same thing on Monday. I mean, come on. When you're finding yourself agreeing regularly with Glenn Beck is something... Come on! Speaking of cuckoo birds...
Well, maybe Glenn Beck said something right for a change.
He said, this must be scare tactics. Glenn Beck said, that's what it must be, because that's what they said about the last president. So they're saying because we said it about Bush, it must be
true.
We're the hypocrites, yeah. Of course, there's a gaping chasm of difference between what happened during the Bush years and the approach we witnessed during the Obama years. Thank you. That's my point. The Bush administration used color-coded terrorism on dozens of occasions to the point where the nation was perpetually locked into a yellow alert status. Remember, yellow was significant risk.
No, we're now at periwinkle.
Right. Which is,
and burnt
thank
umber.
God we never got to burnt umber. Yes. Anyway, he points out about Tom Ridge admitting it, that he raised it for political reasons because he was told to. On the other hand, this is the first time the Obama administration has closed embassies and consulates of this scale with a stated express details about a threat. But, you know, it's easier to use false equivalents to scold Democrats who don't share Greenwald's worldview. I don't mind repeating the observation that the far right thinks the president is an Al-Qaeda sleeper cell who's racist against white people, while the Greenwald neo-libertarian left thinks he's a bloodthirsty racist against Muslims who consequently determined to kill or indefinitely detain as many Muslims as he can. What unites these two factions is the unwavering assumption that the president and the government each possess dark, malevolent intentions for universal authoritarian domination while sculpting events to conform these motives, no matter how ridiculous they might sound. As long as there are gullible consumers of these theories, Greenwald, Beck, and Jones will continue to manufacture more of them instead of sticking with a reasonable, though less pulse-pounding debate based on empirical reality. Thank you, Bob Seska, in the Daily Banter. There's another great piece, by the way, in the Daily Beast, and this will be interesting, but they're talking about Hillary's main challenge is going to come from the left.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, so can I, but I'm like, oh, great. This will be our best chance to keep the White House ever.
Who do you think would run to her left?
Andrew Cuomo, O'Malley. Mm. This is, I think it's, who is it? Peter Beinart, I think, in the Daily Beast.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, because, you know, well, it's a whole debate. And we have, because the party has moved to the left, and I think in good ways, but Hillary's obviously known as a centrist, and he's talking about on, you know, gay rights and other stuff. Andrew Cuomo's been very, very progressive, you know, so I don't know. We'll see. That was obviously the reason a lot of us went with Obama the last time. He was seen as more to the left, right?
Didn't turn out that way.
But not to be a Republican.
Right.
Not to be an Obama basher.
Right.
But
it's okay. We're all about balance here. That's why I'm
right.
I'm a happy-clappy Obama apologist.
Right. All about balance, as long as we agree with her.
An Obama bot. Please. If you had to agree with me, what would you two be here
exactly.
every day? For God's sakes. Have you disappeared into a cornfield.
By the way, listener Eric tweeted, and he wants to know if you knew that your shirt said, I'm an a-hole, in Japanese.
Really?
That's what he says.
It does not.
I don't know if he's joking or not, but that's what he says.
Looks like I'm doing the show on my sports bra.
That was his point, I think.
Where's my yes man? I know. I'm going to need my yes man for balance today.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Thank
Stephanie.
You. Right.
Mama's right.
Yes, Dennis.
Right again.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
as
Dennis.
As usual.
Right.
Absolutely,
yes.
Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're absolutely right.
I know.
You're right. They're wrong.
That's mm-hmm. right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, yes, man. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's
yes,
not my
yes
name.
It is. Yes, it's my name. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we were talking about the difference in terror threats with the Bush and the Obama administrations,
yep.
And the big difference is Dick Cheney, a well-known liar.
Yeah.
And apparently it's genetic, according to Mamie in Wyoming. Good morning, Mamie.
Good morning. See, I thought I'd let you know about Dizzy Liz Cheney.
Dizzy Liz.
Listen, this is serious business in Wyoming. She lied on her fishing license.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's blaming the game and fish clerk that wrote her up.
Right. He must have made some sort of error.
Well, see, she bought a mansion out here, $1.6 million in Jackson Hole. And, of course, Daddy's got a big multi-million dollar mansion on the Snake River.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And And she thought she'd pull a fast one, I guess, with all her money and her law degree. So she's under investigation, which tickles the heck out of me.
Right, that is hilarious. Yeah, she said that she has been a 10-year resident, and it was only 72 days right after closing
right,
on her on her home.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah, and the state law requires you to live there a year, right, before you can become eligible for the license.
That's right, but... You know, out here, it's 4-1 Republicans, and and Enzi wasn't running, they'd elect the old witch.
You know, now because they take this serious out there, maybe they should just have a sign, Liz Cheney, poacher. Don't you think? Right?
Well, I'm sure the old man, he gets plenty of fish that he shouldn't get, but...
Oh, I'm sure.
That's right. Beside the point, but he's... I tell you, it's quite the family. I just don't understand the
That's the least of his war crimes, unfortunately, I guess. That's
I just thought I'd let you know that Dizzy Liz is out here and she's trying to charm the people.
Hey, oh, boy. Oof. She's nothing but charm. That's a charm offensive there.
Of course, Cheney, when he's fishing, he just shoots him in the face.
Right, exactly. And then they apologize.
Yes, for getting in the way of
the
bullets.
Right. Liz Cheney, poacher.
You make me dizzy, Miss Lizzy.
All right. Let's go to Nikki in Pensacola, Florida. Hey, Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
How are you? Okay. I am just kind of, I completely agree with you because I read that article, too, from Bob. What's his name? Bob
Sesta. Sesta.
Sesta. Yes, I agree absolutely, completely, 100% with that. And the thing that bothers me with people like the two guys that you work with, or that work with you,
right,
it's that they're waiting on, they're waiting on something to happen. You can't convince me unless something happens. So when something happens and we didn't do or react to it the way we could have, then what?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I was saying is I'm not saying they're not issues we should look at, but, you know, I mean, that's exactly right. What has to happen? We have to have an actual attack. And who wrote that piece about it? Then watch where our civil liberties go, you know, if there's another, you know, large scale attack here. Yep. So there's got to be some balance is all I'm saying between, you know, security and the civil liberties. Okay, and then he's going to do the Ben Franklin quote. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Dean Abadala next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to spend my summer giving something back to the community. Chlamydia.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34
Chlamydia.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. How are you guys enjoying those sausage butts I gave you?
Wow. It's sausage flavored rubber.
Yeah.
I overcooked a little bit. A
little bit. I'm not making enough saliva to be able to.
Yeah.
I had to spit it out.
That was quite the compliment to my cooking. I'm not making enough saliva to eat this. Here's the problem, is cooking time coincides with cocktail hour, and Mama sometimes is not paying attention.
So why do you foist the remnants on us?
You ate them. You're like dogs, you'll eat anything.
No. I assumed it was somewhat edible.
You assumed
wrong. I nibbled on one. I didn't eat the whole thing.
All right.
That was gross.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, kids, Mama is on the CNN most days. During my cocktail hour,
right.
So I'm not really sure if I make any sense, but I know that Dean Abadala does, who is off and on with me. Our buddy, our pal, comedian extraordinaire Dean Abadala. Hello, Dean. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
I'm sober, which is different.
Sober?
When I'm on with
you. This time of the morning,
right?
Which I've lost that bet. But, all right.
You wrote a great piece. We were talking about this yesterday, but Reince Priebus, Jim.
Reince Priebus.
Right. It really is kind of unbelievable. You wrote a great piece at CNN.com. A head of the RNC tries to bully the media. I mean, is this all they've got? Is trying to prevent...
This is it.
Right.
I don't know. I honestly... There's some game Reince Priebus, whatever his name is trying to play. And I don't know what it is. Does he really think... Because his letter gave and I'm your listeners, you said you discussed it yesterday, but there, NBC and CNN are developing projects that are about Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And he sent a letter to NBC and CNN saying, if you don't pull these by August 14th, which is a week from now,
right,
if you don't pull these, you're out of the Republican debate. So he doesn't really think they're going to pull them by then. No one would give it in a week like that. So the game is not that. The game is to rally against mainstream media and liberal media and say, and like, look at Rentz. See, he's standing up to those liberals in the media. That's what it's really about. But it comes across as bullying to me. Or
right.
Does he think that Hillary Clinton's not
known?
And
by the way, NBC and CNN, right, right, yes. She's some, you know, no-name that
she's
apparently...
No, I'd be like, oh, who's this Hillary kid? I mean, I heard she's up-and-comer. But, you know, you get to really get to know her, I think, to like her. And you
yes,
know.
Yikes, they might make her a household name, as you write. That'd be horrible.
That would be horrible, the whole thing. Maybe gay to know, you know, I think she's connected to Bill Clinton, but I'm not sure. I have to see a special about
well,
that. And then,
you know, NBC and CNN have both called his bluff. So, you know, your move, little man, Reince Priebus. But I think, you know, you're right. It's such a ridiculous thing to even, like, sort of threaten. Like, oh, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to, you know, give you any of our debates. Yeah, I mean, really? Who cares, right?
I agree with you, but to me, the most one of the most ridiculous but candid things he said was on our buddy Sean Hannity's show on Monday night, and Sean loves us both.
Right.
And so he said to Hannity, and these are the exact words I quote in my article, he said it's time that the RNC stands up to networks not in the business of promoting our party and not in the business of promoting our candidates. That's what he wants the media to be, promotion of their candidates and their agenda, like Fox News. He wants everyone to be Fox News. And he actually said that on air. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
To me, that should be the bigger story. That he's saying, look, if you're going to be difficult to our candidates and ask them tough questions, and he said pit them against each other and do the gotcha questions, that kind of bull, we're not going to let our candidates be on your TV networks for these debates. But he should be above this. We should be picking the best person, the Republican and Democrat,
right,
regardless of your political
yeah,
leaning.
You can't have people like Candy Crowley that are biased to, you know, about things that are actually what's true or not. That,
right,
that
like,
would be bad.
Pro-facts. You can't be pro-facts. You have to be pro-Republican. That's what they want you to be. You know, God forbid you're pro-actually objectivity, like journalism.
Right. I mean, but, you know, you open the piece perfectly. You say, how can the leader of the Republican Party, the party that claims to be so concerned about our freedoms, want to limit freedom of the press? I mean, and the other point you make is, I guess he assumes there's going to be gauzy the infomercials for Hillary. They're not even, nobody's even written them yet. They're you know what I mean?
They're of course going to be bad and good.
Right. The Clintons
and
have a few
year before
awards,
the election.
Sure, yeah, and by the way, if they're covering everything about the Clintons, I'm sure Hillary's not going to be thrilled with the whole, you know, Monica section, right?
Right. That's what, you know, it's funny. The head of Media Matters, David Brock,
yep,
is a big Hillary supporter and came out saying, I support Rentz, but for the opposite reason, for the reason you're saying, because there's no control by the Clinton campaign over this for the miniseries or the special, and it might show negative things they don't want to emphasize, that then the Republicans will use those clips from those exact things,
right,
from the documentary more so than the miniseries.
He's afraid that it might remind voters of Troopergate, of Whitewater, and all of that just before the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it goes both ways, and, you know, for NBC Entertainment, it's purely for ratings. It's in the entertainment division. It's not even in the news division. They would do, Diane Lane's going to play Hillary Clinton and that kind of stuff, and, you know, which is kind of cool for Hillary, I think. And who would play you, Stephanie? That's the question. It was a movie about you.
I guess Monica.
No,
Monica Lewinsky would clearly play me.
Monica Lewinsky.
Lillian
I'm
Dish.
Hoping John Fugelsang would play me, so I could
yes,
finally be good looking.
Yeah.
So be like, ah, look at that. He's good looking, finally.
But, you know, you make a good point. We can't allow our freedom of media to be politicized. And you were saying the DNC issued a similar threat to, you know, to any network, you know, saying they're going to air a Chris Christie documentary, you say I'd be opposed to that, too. I mean, the point is, it's ridiculous to send letters threatening major networks, you know, from airing something, right?
It is, and, you know, of course, my article got a lot of comments, like thousands, because of it's polarizing. But why Republicans, and I try to make it, you know, when I attacked Rentz at the top, I knew what I was opening the door to this. But my real point is, we shouldn't politicize this, because if the DNC said, if you put whatever the show it is, if you put that show on, we're not going to let you sponsor our debates, that is a clear chilling effect on the free press and the idea that the
right,
media should not put content they want out. We should all be outraged. When I pitched the article to CNN, I said, I really want it to be a call to arms for everyone in the media to go, hey, this is outrageous, Rentz. You've overstepped your bounds. Just back off. This is stupid. And instead, immediately, the right defends him. And then it becomes instantly partisan, and it shouldn't be. This really should be freedom of press, apart from anything else. It should be like
I love it, and I love your advice. You say NBC and CNN should not buckle to the RNC's attempt to silence content if it does not approve. In fact, they should produce even more Hillary Clinton programs, maybe a reality show keeping up with the Clintons or a series simply called Hillary. And then you say Fox News is free to air Dancing with the Marco Rubios. So it's all there's all balance.
It's unbelievable. And you know what I love? I get, you know, Republicans sending me hate mail. I'm like, why don't you like freedom of press? And they go, we like freedom of press, but that's not what this is about. I go, that's what it is. And, of course, I get emails from Republicans. It's all in caps for some reason. I'm not sure why their cap lock is always...
The cap lock is always stuck on right-wingers' keyboards. I don't know why.
It's always... Maybe, you know, I'm just impressed they have a computer. So, you know, whatever it is, it might be dial-up, it's AOL, or it's Atari that you can have a keyboard connected to. But
and can I just say the biggest affront from Reince Priebus is we were bumped from CNN last night because of Aaron Burnett's interview with Reince Priebus. So right there.
I was angry. Reason.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been mad at a lot of times getting bumped. You know, I was like pro-democracy in Greece until that democracy movement. Then, not Greece, in Turkey, when the people were protesting. And then we get bumped from this show. I'm like, you know what? I'm not for freedom anymore. I'm against it. But
screw
them. Get bumped.
Once they're affecting our airtime, screw them.
That's it. You know, I've become anti-tornado. Before, I wasn't really pro-tornado, but tornadoes would bump us.
No. We're anti-news because news tends to bump us.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's what, you know.
Why can't the world just settle down? Just settle down. We don't need any sort of breaking news.
We need our own TV show where we bump any news stuff. Anything that's real, we're like, no.
There you go.
It's like me and you talking, and we can have John on and Hal.
There you go. Our own little bubble. All right, honey, great stuff. See you in the TV machine.
Hopefully. Take
all
care.
Right.
Thanks
all
for having
right.
me.
Well, that must have been a single interview with Florence Primus.
I'm surprised he didn't just call with that authoritative voice of his rather than write a letter.
Yeah.
Anything's wrong. I don't think you mean anything.
They probably promised not to do it just to stop having to hear that voice. Oh, God.
God.
Please. Oh, it's like a dentist drill. Okay. Care. We'll cancel the Hillary thing. Okay. Nick in New York on the troll line. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I was just, I turned you on and I saw that you were doing a little comparison just between Bush and Cheney and right. I know Bush and Obama.
Yes.
But, look, they're both liars. Unfortunately, you don't want to admit that Obama is a liar, but
what has Obama lied about?
Well, number one, he swore the largest legislation or the most important legislation of the modern era, healthcare. He said that C-SPAN was going to be in the rooms. There's going to be total transparency so that the people can understand what's going on with the bill.
Okay.
That did not happen. 8 times at least, he said to the media that he was going to ask C-SPAN in. He'll have C-SPAN on.
Okay.
He'll have C-SPAN.
We didn't debate the health care law enough.
Because
there was hardly any debate about that. We weren't debating it
over
a year.
Nobody has read the Democrats who even voted for the bill. Nobody even knows what's going on. Clyburn even said, read the bill. I'm not reading the bill. It was 1,200 pages. Nobody
read
the bill.
So what's your main...
There's no transparency.
So the Bush administration lied us into an unnecessary war that killed thousands of people.
Well, let me get into that. So you're telling me...
Let's get into that,
Tony
Nick.
Blair, hold on. Tony Blair, who's even left of the
George
Clinton
Bush's
and
poodle?
Obama...
George Bush's poodle, you mean?
No, you're telling me that Tony Blair, of all people, who's even left of those people...
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
He was in on it.
Yes, that's what I'm telling
you.
All right.
Yes.
All right, well, I'm glad we fleshed
George
out the...
George Bush's poodle.
The troll line, so that the king of the trolls, Billy from Texas, can call in now. Gosh, I've missed him since I don't know when. Yesterday. Hi, Billy in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know if you hate yourself or not. But
why am I hitting myself? Is that what you're saying?
You're all white people.
Traitor Steph, he rants. Falls to vent and get his pants in a wadded up bunch thicket.
Yeah, I don't know who listens to you, Stephanie.
He smokes funny cigarettes, but 2 hours he's been on hold, cause his right wing rants are getting old. He's a man who means to troll me.
By the way, did you get your check for this phone call yet?
King of the trolls. Traitorous Steffy rants.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Thank you. All right. That was like throwing chum in the water for Billy to call now. All right, 45. Stop giving him jingles.
The lines are open, Billy.
Oh, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Steffi. They call me Hell. They call me Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
But not in the songs are us.
Step 1-2. Hello. Mike writes, "Hey troll. The healthcare bill's been online for 4 years. Any idiot could read it if they want to."
Not
Jackie also
idiot.
Tweeted that the president's
healthcare summit was on television.
Yeah, I somehow did not feel...
The revolution was televised, as it happened.
Yes. I did not feel the need to argue with the troll about...
I'm not arguing with you about that.
Four-year-old talking points.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
All right.
Okay. Dan Hedaya is never going to live that down.
What's that?
Dan Hedaya. He's the actor who did that. Joe versus the volcano.
All right. Because we started the show, we were talking about, do I even need to say there's a huge difference between the Bush administration and the Obama administration in terms of fear-mongering and, you know, exaggerating threats or whatever? The president, of course, was on Leno last night.
It's significant enough that we're taking every precaution. We had already done a lot to bolster embassy security around the world, but especially in the Middle East, North Africa, where the threats tend to be highest. And whenever we see a threat stream that we think is specific enough that we can take some specific precautions within a certain time frame, then we do so.
Threat stream doesn't sound as much fun as soda stream.
No, it is not.
And it doesn't go shunk.
Right.
Well, it might, but then just before something blows up.
Well, it...
Yeah, as they put the thing in the tube, the grenade in the tube as it launches, yeah.
Oh, you mean like you used to put...
Like a bazooka.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, shaboom.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's not fun wow at all.
No.
That's a different kind of wow
and
entirely.
I'm sure SodaStream does not like being associated with that.
We can just edit this out. Oh, it's live?
We'll fix it in post.
Okay. Yeah, so before you call, no, you didn't believe because Obama said it in that Bush. Yes. Yes. Okay. Bill in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi. First time caller. Love the show, et cetera, et cetera.
Blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
Yeah. The thing I wanted to ask is this, and I heard your conversation earlier in the show about the terror alerts, and I just find it hard to believe with the timing of these that it can't be somehow a political decision that they've made. I mean, if this is not political...
Again, Bill, if we were in the Bush administration, I would say, why, yes. Remember, they just did that last week. We were in an orange terror alert. But the fact is the Obama administration has not... And I'm just saying, look at what would have happened. If something happened at one of the embassies, the right has taken a brief pause in screaming about Benghazi. They'd start all over again. You know, I mean,
wouldn't that be the time to say, okay, well, these are the precautions we took, and we did everything we could to make sure that something like this didn't happen, and it still happened.
Right, but how do you win when you've got a Rick Santorum on Meet the Press this weekend ready to say, oh, well, we had to do this because the president's so weak on terror, he's so weak on Al-Qaeda, this is what happened. It's just you can't win, right? I mean, it's which is
it? Let me just make my final point,
okay.
And that is this.
All right.
I don't disagree with you in that regard, but I just feel the bigger picture is that every time we have a terror alert, every time we publicize that we are closing embassies because of this or that or the other thing, which I don't think, first of all, has to be publicized.
When you say every time, this is the first time under the Obama administration.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just talking about over the Bush administration and also and recently with this. I just feel as though every time something like that happens, the terrorists are winning. That they're putting a fear in our hearts and a fear in our government.
I take your point on that. But my point, I guess, about the when you have the director of Homeland Security, Tom Ridge, admitting in his book that he exaggerated Homeland Security terror ratings for political reasons because he was asked to. you know, to me, that says everything you need to know. But I get what you're saying. I mean, once again, where is the line between security and you know, in the terrorist winning, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, I want to kind of, and I'm kind of piggyback on what you said, but I also want to make some, I want to make a point that we need to stop doing. People need to stop comparing Barack Obama to, what's his name, George Bush.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And leaving it there. Let's take it on over to the Clinton administration, because we don't want to touch Bill. We want to leave him as squeaky clean. But let's not forget, we had more embassies blown up during his administration because they did not take it as serious. Remember, Bin Laden started and Al-Qaeda started in Africa. There were 4,000 people injured and over 200 killed. And nobody paid any attention. We had the USS Cole, and people kind of ignored it.
Yeah.
Now, remember, September 11th
was
only
That's the other thing, as I've said. It's just you cannot tell me things have been politicized as much as they are now, because for exactly the reason you're saying. I can't remember that we've said it before, but the number of people killed in embassy while George Bush was in office. Was this ever a news story? Benghazi has been on 24/7.
And that's
the news.
Against him. And you're right. And see, the thing that I get angry about is nobody gives Barack Obama as much credit as he should get for getting rid of Bin Laden. This man, look what he did. 4,000 people injured, 3,000 plus people killed over here. We still have 1,100 families cannot go and kneel down and pray to their loved ones, or they can't put them on a mount. They can't find them. So, you know, when you look at that stuff, you say, look, Mr. President, this is your first time. It's not like he's done it 100 times.
That's right.
If you need to close those embassies to save one life, you do that. And we ought to be saying, you know, bravo, because, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I want the alert.
Well, and it also
there.
Goes against their narrative, Lisa, that the president has tried to, obviously they have tried to find out what went wrong in Benghazi and address it for the future. They do, obviously, instead of politicizing it, they want to figure, went about trying to figure out how to prevent it from happening again.
It's exact, and you know, we need to just kind of sit back and say, you know what, we are in a country, not just in drone time, but all time, that people always come at us, and we need to just be safe. So those people who don't believe it, go on to Benghazi, go on to Egypt, go where you want to go, but if you get captured, don't ask us to spend money to come and get you.
Call me. You can talk to the hand.
Yeah, talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand when you get captured in wherever. Okay, the president last night.
Well, it's a reminder that for all the progress we've made, getting Bin Laden, putting Al-Qaeda between Afghanistan and Pakistan back on its heels, that you know, this radical, you know, violent extremism is still out there, and we've got to, you know, we've got to stay on top of it.
See, if I had any kind of prank sense of humor, I would ask Travis to get Lisa's number, and I'd call her next week and like, collect call. Help, I've been captured in...
Whatever.
He said, okay, never mind. No, because she can't.
Oh, that prank humor.
Says, nah.
What did I tell her last week, Travis?
Mm-mm-mm.
I said, no, do not call me. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks is on his way in.
Yeah.
Sundays with Hal in hour number two today. He has a thing with a guy and later. So we will see him. We will see him in just a couple of minutes as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Prepare to be jingled, sir.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The hump days.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Oh, it feels so good to be here for Sausage Fest 2013. Yes, sausage butts available for a limited time only.
Would you like one?
No, I'm first.
Yummy sausage butts.
Who would like a singed sausage butt?
Just I seriously wasn't making enough saliva to
moisten it.
I think
you
break the window with one of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
all
think
right.
you...
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hi, I think your discussion of it stopped people from producing saliva all over the country. Like, mouth... You can hear the sounds
mouth
of mouth drying up.
Crypt keeper mouths across the country. All
yes.
right, I apologize to the entire country for my cooking. Can we move on?
No, we cannot. The scars remain.
We opened the show. We were talking about this whole... Bob Seska wrote a piece in the Daily Banter about how the fringes of the right and left are meeting now in terms of Glenn
right.
Greenwald, Glenn Beck, Alex Jones saying all the same. And I just was saying there is a big difference to me between the Bush and the Obama administrations. The Bush administration fear-mongered and used the, you know, politically tried to scare us over and over and over. And particularly Iraq is a huge thing
right.
that we have to remember. The Obama, this is the first time. He's closed embassies. And so I understand people going, oh, is it because
he didn't
of...
close the embassies before him? He got
right.
Now
and they're like,
the,
the ones in the dangerous zones, he opened quicker than the ones in the safer
right.
zones. That's because the ones in the dangerous zone have bigger security details.
Right.
They
right.
can handle the security threats sooner, and they're more. They have the actual facility and the equipment and the personnel to do it, whereas
right.
the places...
And my point
yeah.
is, I'm sorry, but Glenn yeah. Greenwald, once again, made it about him. It's like, oh, yes, the president did it just because of you.
Yes.
Just to show you. Like,
right.
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I dare say the president has access to more information than even Glenn Greenwald
really?
Has.
I would beg to differ. I think Glenn Greenwald has a lot of facts in his head that none of us have access to. But it's kind of amazing. My thing about, especially when it comes to, you know, NSA, CIA, or even to some degree some FBI stuff, is that especially in ongoing investigation stuff, there's a reasonable expectation of secrecy. If you want to talk about reasonable doubt in certain other mm-hmm. circumstances, there's also a reasonable expectation of secrecy within the, you know, when you're carrying out covert operations.
Right.
And so this idea that somehow, while these bills like the Patriot Act and elements of what the NSA is doing needs oversight, the
right.
idea that we're going to have open hearings about it, or that, like, there was a big report in, I want to say it was the Washington Post, but there was this, there was an article basically saying that the, you know, certain congressmen are being rebuffed from their requests about information on certain programs.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're not on the Intelligence Committee. They haven't been vetted. They don't do the process. There's a reason why there's a hierarchical way you work your way in.
Right.
You can't be just like a one-termer in, learn everything, and get out because of redistricting and all this other stuff. They're just not going to hand out information. You can't just get all of it without going through proper channels. So this idea that you're going to walk in and go, I need to know everything
right.
the NSA is doing. I've been here 6 weeks, and it's
right.
just absurd. It's a because
well,
there'd be
Al
nothing
Franken,
secure at all.
Al Franken,
yeah.
no
yeah.
right-winger, made this point. He said, you know, if everyone sees everything I see, then guess what? The terrorists see it, too.
Exactly. That's
I mean,
there's an element of, there is a balance of free press and how much information you give out, and at a certain point where you're just giving out where troop positions are and where who
right.
your covert agents in
right.
the field are. And,
right.
and
now
that,
here is Geraldo to draw our troop positions in the sand.
Exactly.
Oh, good. Now we all know
here's
where they
where
are.
Our guys are.
Yeah, right.
And here, oops, I probably shouldn't have done that.
By the way, here's another selfie of me. Next
right.
to the troop movements. Camilla in Atlanta wants to chime in with you, Hal. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Camilla.
Hi. I just cannot believe these people. They are crazy. I have a friend that is stationed in Qatar. She's in the Foreign Service.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be overly cautious. When it comes to these people's lives, be overly cautious. Close those embassies. These countries that are supposed to...
Well, Camilla, can you believe the same people that are screaming
about
over
Benghazi yeah.
endlessly are,
right.
like, now going, oh, see, the president's weak, so we had to close the embassy. What?
Right.
I know. Louis Gohmert should be the one to stand guard at those embassies.
Yes.
He's so quick to be like, you know what? We look like wimps. Well, you go and stand guard. When those rockets are raining down on us...
Yeah, because you know what? You know, you're right. We want you on that wall, Louis. We
yeah.
need you on that wall. We
show
should give him one
done,
of those
Louis.
Funny, like, Buckingham Palace
oh, the funny
hats.
And yeah. Because deep down in places
yeah.
you don't talk about
stand
at
there
parties.
In a silly
you
hat.
Want me on that wall.
You
need
me
on that wall.
Mm-hmm. All right, the president last night on the Tonight
Bring
Show.
Bring in the hair, let in the pencil.
No, not that. All right, the president last night. The president on Leno.
Private capital should take a bigger role in the mortgage market.
Wait a minute. What are we talking
huh?
about?
It
nine.
Was
nine.
Okay.
The
yes.
president talking about
okay.
the NSA.
He was
Here
very preachy on that.
We don't have a domestic spying program. What we do have are some mechanisms where we can track a phone number or an
right.
email address that we know is connected to some sort of terrorist threat. And that information is useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's that big facility in Utah that's going to be sucking up everything.
Yeah, but again, all of these things, all the things the NSA is sucking up in this big hard drive that they're talking about, this enormous filtering system, mm-hmm. is the only difference between it and Yahoo, Google, .Mac, you know, all the other websites.
I shudder to know how much Amazon knows about me.
Everything goes through, the Twitter servers, right. the Facebook servers, right. is that it does all of them at once instead of each individual corporation doing them all. Because they all store them. They all store them forever so they can search them later. They do it so that you can recover, and anybody who works there... Anybody who works there
right.
doesn't have to do anything, even the stuff that Snowden had to do to get access to it, Anybody who works at Facebook can gaze freely upon anything in the server.
And plus, I love, like I was saying, you know, our caller was talking about people like Louis Gohmert. I love the whole, like, I thought we had defeated Al-Qaeda. It's like, it's a little complicated.
Right.
Our gray areas. State Department spokesman Jen Psaki.
The core of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan is on the path to defeat, but we have consistently expressed a concern about affiliates, and this is an example of that.
Well, here's a great example.
Yes.
If one of the ways that these guys recruit and gain ground as far as legitimacy in their fight against the U.S. and in Western powers in general is successful attacks.
Right.
And so if you don't, if there's even these low-lying players manage to pull off something like Benghazi because security wasn't up, then they use it as a recruitment tool. They use it to show that they're making
still,
positive
right,
ground. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So to lower their recruitment, to keep them back, to make them not have these little victories, you do these draw lines to protect yourself. Now,
right.
I'm one of the people who thinks, you know, the NSA came out puffing their feathers really big on this one. So while I think it was legitimate, I also think the NSA, because they've been under fire lately, used it as kind of a PR puff piece to come out and go,
right.
this is what the NSA does. We protect the American people from
right.
the dangers of blah, blah, blah. And it was... what it looked like was, methinks M'lady doth protest too much. It does look a bit like they were using it as a tool, and that raises everybody's belief that it might have been constructed.
Chris?
Yeah. Don't suggest that to Representative Adam Schiff, because you'll get smacked down like
what
I
do you
did.
Mean? How do you
we had him on earlier this week. And
his eyes got even bigger than usual.
Yes, he said, how dare you suggest a conspiracy like that?
Well, no, I'm just saying the NSA uses it, makes people think conspiracy.
Right. Yeah.
By them coming out.
But the truth is somewhere in between.
Sure.
I mean, I think, I mean, Tricia in Spokane, you're on with Hal. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm just kind of disgusted right now because when the Bush administration was telling everybody we're on this alert or orange alert or whatever
right.
color they were coming up with, they never gave us any instruction on what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
All they said was be afraid.
Be afraid.
Now,
very
the
afraid.
Obama administration is taking action on intelligence that they've gotten. I don't know if I agree with it or not, but at least they're taking some actual action and not just telling us to be frightened.
Right.
Well, exactly, Tricia. I think we got numb to it during the Bush years. I mean, remember
right.
you know
it
when the country's
silly.
Openly joking about stuff like, are we orange
like,
today?
Which popsicle
Uh-oh.
Do we get handed
right.
today when we go into school?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Is that these are simple mechanical things that a large government with outposts in a lot of different countries where they've got people in the field, especially after something like Benghazi goes, these are our new stepped up. Rules. Maybe before we wouldn't have said this qualifies as a reason to shut down these embassies or these bases. And in this case, it does because this is a lesson learned.
Senator McCain on the.
We now know that Al Qaeda isn't nearly as splintered as we had believed in the past. They can still take orders from leadership, and they're awfully smart people.
He's on his honeymoon with Lindsey Graham in Egypt. And
we wish them all.
We do. We don't know how many bugs John McCain's had to kill for Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
Ooh, eek.
Here's the tissue.
Here's the thing. Like, when he's talking about how smart they are and how, splintered they aren't, and, you don't have to be that together to carry out the level or kind of attacks that Al-Qaeda is known for or that these splinter groups are known for.
Right.
It really isn't. A Hannibal Lecter-ish great criminal mindset that is required to put guy in car strapped with bombs, trunk full of gasoline, drive at the biggest open hole in town.
Mm-hmm. Then eat his liver with fava beans.
And nice candy.
Right.
Right.
Huh?
That's the issue. As much as they want to, and again, I think that's more like the scare tactic they use for justification, and it always comes across like that. The reality is, yes, there are consistent dangers, but they aren't this isn't like crashing the stock market, which is, you know, or electronic attacks that the Chinese have been doing over the time. Like, that's high end.
No, every kind of domestic sabotage, the Republicans are pretty much on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't mind that at all.
Yeah, working on that. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Hope you get
by. Oh, yeah.
But what's puzzling you is the nature of my day. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 22 minutes after the hour. A few more on air guitar. Yeah, I knew it. Someone sent me a picture of the old Homeland Security Advisory System, Hal.
Yes.
Looks exactly like the gay pride flag. I'm just saying. I always thought Tom Cruise.
I did not.
I'm just thinking, if things are calm, I'll be like, so it's like a periwinkle. Are you guys with me?
Right. You're saying Tom Ridge was
a
bit of a homo?
And then when it's a severe warning, maybe there's like an air raid. So, it's like, oh, candy cane red. Like, oh.
Barbarian.
Yeah! Okay.
You suggesting Tom Ridge is a homo?
I know. I'm just saying.
Barbarians at the gate.
Someone sent me both of them.
The threat level
exactly
of chartreuse.
Like.
Barbarians at the gate who need disciplining.
Exactly.
And
yes.
High is like a burnt umber orange. Oof.
Burnt sienna.
Right.
Wonderful.
Burnt umber. That's when you know it's serious.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or when you know what color bone white is. Looking at you, Marcus. Hello, Chris in Phoenix.
Good morning.
Hello.
Just wanted to point out one difference between the NSA's database and Google, iMac, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Google can't come to my door with information and throw me in prison.
True.
The U.S. government
Unless
can.
You're trying to buy a pressure cooker. Just kidding.
Very funny.
But to some degree, if there's knowledge of a crime or whatever, it's an easily discoverable thing through them. They have, and everybody who's working there, while they can't, for example, come to your door with their own guns, can easily make a phone call that directly leads to that act fairly quickly.
That's
can they not?
True. I agree with that.
That's what I mean. So what's the difference between, I mean, arguably right now, if you look at it in sort of, as a metaphor, Google, Yahoo, all the main Hotmail, all the big server companies are effectively non-oath-taking, contractors of the NSA right now. Because essentially, if you're bussing all that stuff through one conduit, if you're bottlenecking it through the NSA, it's still in that open space, controlled in exactly the same way by people who don't take an oath, who have no direct protection that you have. Right. By the way, while they can't send cops to your door, they can absolutely link your accounts to other places without your knowledge or just using the fine print in your, in your agreement that you've typed into to send it to credit companies that can eliminate your ability to get a loan. They can tie it to, the way they do with advertising.
Right.
Anything you mention in your email starts showing up in ads on the every site you go to. So there's an element of,
right.
It's like the government is putting people on the roofs with telescopes to look at people in parks. Like, the people are in the park. There is a slight difference with media that way versus a letter written put in an envelope.
By the way, we've been talking about the difference between terror alerts and the Obama administration, the Bush administration, and someone, I haven't seen this in a while. I'd forgotten because everybody forgot exactly what this was the Homeland Security Advisory System. Severe was red, as we recall. Severe risk of terrorist attack. Orange was high, because we never knew what it meant or what we were supposed to do.
Right.
Yellow.
Dreamsicle, I
yellow,
called it.
Right. Who's, dream, creamsicle.
Who said,
oh, no, we're on creamsicle.
Right,
ah!
Yeah. Everybody go to a state fair and wait for instructions.
Yellow. Yellow was elevated.
Be afraid. Right.
But Sora British.
We're frozen banana.
Run.
Right.
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 Yellow,
blue
right.
Was
set on coward.
Blue was guarded, meaning general risk. Stand. Elevated to yellow was significant risk. Guarded was a general risk of terrorist attacks. And green was the low.
So only if you were a general.
Well, when is there... Here's the thing. In a country this size, with as many outposts as we have, right, and as many countries we have, when would it ever get below blue with any conscious...
I asked that earlier this show.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Is there ever when we were just like the no color?
Yeah. Right.
Could that be? Was there ever a time they're just... Well, is it, beige. We're in beige.
Are we talking about white in the paint version where it's lack of pigment, so it's right, no color? Or are we talking about the light version of white, which includes all of them?
Possibly a crew.
Yes, the white spectrum of light, including all the elements of the
and
light.
And was orange the new black then? Or is only...
Well,
who knows?
Threat level black.
Well, then we're all arrested by the...
Isn't that the name of a Sean Hannity book about the Obama presidency?
Yeah. All right. Ron in Chicago, you're on with Hal. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
I wanted to kind of give you guys some praise because I've gone back and forth about being a liberal or conservative or whatever, but I give you guys a lot of credit because when I listen to you guys, especially when you talk about the war on terror, counterinsurgencies and things like that, obviously I'm a veteran, Afghan veteran, you guys have really much...
Uh-oh.
We lost
I think we're going to say something good about us. Go ahead, Ron.
Are you there?
He's gone.
Oh, call back, Ron.
Clearly, he intercepted that phone call.
Exactly.
Because he's a veteran, and I'm right about everything. Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
No, but I mean,
someone will call me a neocon on Twitter today. I just know it.
Of course. Happens every day.
Oh, boy.
Here's the thing. There just seems to be, when you do hear the polarized sides of this conversation, is that there's either no threat whatsoever, and everything the government does is an absolute lie, or... Yeah. Hide in your house and tinfoil up the windows because they're everywhere. And and anytime you try to have a conversation that balances the two, you're a traitor to one side or the other.
Well, this is exactly why I'm glad you're here today.
Yes.
Because we were talking about the Bob Cheska piece about this, the far left and far right coming together. I think it's going to be really interesting in 2016, and I want your take on this. Peter Beinart wrote a piece today in the Daily Beast. Hillary Clinton's big challenge in 2016 will come from the left. And I'm just curious what you think is going
Ellen
to happen.
Grayson?
What's that?
Ellen Grayson?
The chattering class of the left.
See, I actually disagree. I think arguably Obama will look to the right of her as she's coming into office to some degree. If she has anything, they're going to, you know, the Secretary of State aspect and how well she did as Secretary of State will actually...
Right, but she is a centrist, is what people are saying.
Yes.
And our party has moved, his point is to the left. They're saying, although few would have predicted it in 1992, Hillary has become the preeminent symbol of Democratic centrism. Obama was perceived as to the left of her, which is why a lot of us supported him over her in the primary. But it'll be interesting. I think his point is that she's going to have to really navigate political winds. Because, you know, as usual, a lot on the left, we could hurt her chances of taking the White House. I mean, they're saying that because people are going to run to the left of her, whether it's Andrew Cuomo or Elizabeth Warren or, you know, other names that are being, you know, they're being tossed around. But anyway, I'll throw a couple points at you from here and get your take on what's going to happen in 2016. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, we are in the midst, right in the midst of.
Yes.
In the hump of Hump Days with Hal. And we will continue humping after this on the...
It's a Fatberg-sized hump.
Right.
It is.
Right.
Made of fat and baby wipes.
Exactly.
I don't know what that means, and
no,
I don't want
to. No, it's made of sexiness and brain cells.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
right
you
back.
Very
hump
much.
Days with
the
Hal
jiggles.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Keeping accurate track of your alcohol intake. Smart idea, considering how trampy you get when you've had a few.
Well, she got your number.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Hump Days with Hal.
Yes.
Getting your take on this whole... We were just saying about, you know, obviously a lot of left-right debate over NSA, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know,
Peter Barnard wrote a piece in the Daily Beast I was asking you about Hillary Clinton's big challenge in 2016 is going to come from the left. And I'm to the left of Hillary on some things, but I'm just going, if we screw up our chances of keeping the White House, when the Republican Party is a mess right now, don't you think? I'm going to be pissed.
Well, I think the group on the left she would have a real problem with is the same group that ironically folds over on the right as far as what they are willing to do ideologically to get certain results. And I think a good example is when we're talking about when the president was dealing with unemployment insurance and the extension, the 13-month extension, and trying to keep, you know, people afloat during that time. And people were saying it's not worth it if we do the 2% Social Security right. drawback or we talk about, a corporate tax benefit or any of those things that were happening as a compromise. They were saying, don't do it no matter what. Well, the people on the right were saying, we don't want the 13-month extension. We don't think people deserve unemployment. The hell with them. We want to get what we want to get.
Right.
On the far left, you ended up having this thing. We don't want them to get what they want so badly that the hell with the people who need the 13-month yeah. extension. Both groups are willing to sacrifice the same people
right.
for a different ideological
right.
end,
I mean.
But the result is ultimately the same.
It was
and
interesting.
That's the shame of it.
You know, we all did a lot of anti-war stuff during
yeah,
the Bush
course.
Years, and I was laughing because they just invited me to come speak at Veterans for Peace, and I thought, I wonder if some people will heckle me and call me a neocon
traitor.
Now because, right, because I, you know, don't think Snowden's a hero and yada, yada. Anyway, but interesting, just some stuff in the Beinart piece in the Daily Beast, Hal, is and he talks about on Iraq, which proved a disaster for Hillary in 2008. Democratic tempers have cooled, but on virtually every other major issue, from gun control to immigration to gay rights to civil liberties to financial regulation, the debate inside the Democratic Party has shifted left over the last five years. And I would argue that although
sure.
I think we're right on those issues, but I mean, it really is true that the Republican Party is clearly gone far right, but the Democratic Party, he's pointing out, has also shifted to left, particularly since Clinton was in office last time.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I think on all those ones you just mentioned, shy of the backstory of the Iraq War, she won't have a problem
right.
running on any of those, even to the left of where she is perceived to be now. I don't
right.
think any
well,
of those will be a problem, including financial regulations and
right.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he says it's likely to keep shifting left. One reason is the end, at least politically, of the war on terror, quote unquote, which has emboldened Democrats to challenge the surveillance policies enacted in 9/11's wake. Talks about younger voters are especially critical of government snooping. Hillary will start the primary process saddled with votes on the Patriot Act and other privacy-related issues that are harder to defend in liberal circles today than they were a decade ago, and opponents will try to make her pay. Anyway, and then he makes a larger point. The second reason the Democratic debate is moving left is that Democrats no longer fear Republicans. Hillary came of age in the 70s and 80s when Nixon and Reagan, yada, yada, taught an entire generation of Democrats about the perils of appearing too liberal. Remember, that was like
right.
the big, too weak on terror, blah, blah, blah. Today's Democrats don't believe that. To the contrary, they see the GOP as clinging to a shrinking and aging white Anglo base that is less and less able to win national elections. As a result, they're no longer concerned about hugging the center. Which I think is true. I think the debate has changed. But anyway, his point is, he says, potential Hillary rivals like Andrew Cuomo, Martin O'Malley are pushing the boldest pro-gay marriage, pro-gun control agendas they can dream up. In doing so, they hope their aggressive liberalism will make Hillary and the Democratic baby boomers she represents look timid and calculating by comparison, the same contrast Obama managed to paint in 2008. So,
yeah, well, I think,
yeah.
Interestingly enough, I think if you look at if you're going to talk about straight-up polarization, no one on the left that you're talking about who believes deeply in these bills and in these concepts that they're attempting to push would shut down the government to do them. They would find
That's right.
legitimate legislative avenues, would find legitimate legal avenues, would work the bully pulpit and the
right.
public feeling about these issues because the public has shifted that way. The Republican side right now is, lock arms and hold a wall and never, none shall pass is this essential Black Knight of,
none
shall pass.
Well,
right.
And we brought up Elizabeth Warren, but here's the other, and we're all obviously Elizabeth Warren
yeah.
fans as well, but
she's great.
They're talking about the Democratic debate also moving left because the deficit is going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's like when these Republicans keep screaming about the deficit, you're like, that is untrue.
Yeah.
It's going down and
well,
down.
Tanner was on just.
Yeah.
Two days ago,
right.
talking about it up in, yeah.
Yeah, their main talking point is no more. Anyway, but it says that means uber liberals like Cuomo and Elizabeth Warren will find it easier to offer big, ambitious spending proposals, and the hard won Clinton reputation for budget balancing may be less in demand. Anyway, so he finishes by saying in 2016, Hillary's left wing challenger may prove stronger if her name is Elizabeth Warren. Then again, Hillary's better politician than Gore. They're talking about the whole Gore Bradley thing. Bradley
right.
ran to the left of Gore, obviously. Then again, Hillary's a better politician than Gore, with a more loyal team, more visceral connection to her party's grassroots. At this ridiculously early juncture, it seems like Hillary will be able to ride out her party's lurch to the left. The more realistic danger may be a lefty challenger forces her into positions that hurt her in the general election against Chris Christie. That could be a worry against Ted Cruz or Rand Paul.
I don't
somebody said if Ted Cruz is the nominee, Hillary carries Georgia.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Or Rand Paul, for that matter. It's going to depend on the right-wing lurch of the Republican Party and the left-wing lurch of the Democratic Party, don't you think?
Well, a lot of people who think that the salvage of the salvaging of the Republican Party lays in it being a libertarian party from now on. And Rand Paul is betting on that. He's literally making it a libertarian party.
There is a libertarian fight between the GOP establishment, neocons, and the libertarian Tea Party kind of contingent now.
Right. Until they figure out that the libertarians don't believe in, say, fire departments.
Yeah, or governing, period.
Or
I mean,
food
the idea,
safety.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are people who don't believe in government who want to get into the government.
Right.
There's a fire call.
So they can sabotage it from the inside and shut it down. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to trust you to run it. That part boggles the mind.
Yeah.
And yet that's what they're really running on this time. And, you know, these secure districts, you know, are getting, you know, more and more extreme, unfortunately.
By the way, Bill Clinton will not touch the wiener, as you can imagine.
Certainly hope that.
The big dog is not biting on the New York City mayoral race.
Yeah.
Former President Clinton told CNN he has five friends running for New York mayor and is not taking sides, despite the fact he officiated
the
wedding.
There's six people running.
He said, the feelings I have are all personal, and since they are, I shouldn't talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing privately he's had some thoughts.
I'm sure he has.
About Anthony Weiner, I'm sure. Had some lively dinner time conversation at the Clinton household.
I look pretty good compared to him.
Oh, I'm sure. Hillary's founded a laugh riot. She's like, oh, this is just fabulous. Wowie.
Yeah. Not so much.
No.
Mm-mm.
By the way, would you like the fun facts? Mediaite brings us a story. One, an Anthony Weiner of your very own, Sidney Leathers, has published a guide to seducing politicians.
Just in time.
Yeah.
First, it's easier than
Sidney
you
Leathers.
Might think. Ordinary politicians can be so complicated, but now with the...
Now with my
the
proven Wiener formula.
2013.
Dying to sex to your first politician but don't even know how to get started? Well, Anthony Weiner sexting partner Sidney Leathers has now entered the advice industry, publishing 10 Secrets to Seducing Politicians.
Brilliant.
Oh, by the way, she also had some thoughts. She said, why does having a sexting affair with a married man or even doing porn make someone a bad person? Give me a break. I'm not a war criminal. I enjoy my sexuality. That doesn't make me anything other than what I am. A young woman who's enjoying her life to the fullest and going on plenty of adventures with willing partners.
Adventures. Well, you know.
Okay, you're not a war criminal, but I would say slut. Look at her slut. He's married!
What? She's a slut! Look at her slut! Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a difference between, like, sex-positive feminism and open sexuality and being kind of overt
a whore.
About it. And then just
kind of...
a slutbag. Right.
With married men and being very obvious about it. So, like, to some degree, it's like, okay, if you can't be overt about it, then you're not... Then you can't claim that overt act is your mainstay. You can't pat yourself on the back for being...
Here are some highlights of her guide to seducing a politician.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Number one, keep a straight face. Like Anthony would thank me every time he had an orgasm. Oh, that's nice. At least he's polite. That's sweet.
And did she go, you're welcome?
I don't think I ever said you're welcome. I mean, who thanks someone after an orgasm?
Okay.
That's true. Wow. That makes me like him a little more.
Mm-hmm. Did he make sure that she got
her
conclusion as well?
I don't think he cared.
Of course not.
No.
He's a pig.
But he did thank her.
Thanks. How does that come? Like, how do you say that?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Here's a mint. Okay.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Off
to you.
He's a polite chipmunk in bed. That's sort of something.
Up to you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
With a politician, you have to remember, she writes, you're probably not going to get money. You're in it for the thrill of it. Oh, we'll see, because Congress people, they're used to asking for money. They don't give you money.
Right.
It's all just for the... thrill of having sex with
the
Anthony.
The thrill of victory.
Okay.
The agony of defeat.
Number three, don't be too proud for selfies. Got to be willing to send the selfies, the pictures. The best way to compliment on a penis shot? Oh, well, this is what I've been waiting for this advice my whole life. Be really specific. Not just length, but girth and everything. Really be specific.
Huh?
Wow.
Oh, that's so... Yeah. Wow. That reminds me of the, my favorite balloon animal I saw once at a... What?
What?
That reminds me of something Stephanie tried to foist upon us this morning.
Right. In Tupperware.
And
I don't know how...
Be really specific. Here. It's... Wow. That vein
that's
is
something.
Great. That part of it. Okay. Make sure you keep up with his career. Set up a Google alert on his name. Then when you talk or sex, mention little tidbits about what they've done, because politicians love that.
Oh,
so he was really kind of having an orgasm over himself.
Tell me what I did. Tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed you've been in the press a lot lately about
that
something.
Thing I said on Fox. Thank you.
I was thinking of you when I said it.
Oh, yeah. Say it again, that thing I said on Fox. Okay. Thank you. And actually have a life. Although, to be quite honest, when we were talking and sexting multiple times a day, I did end up planning my days around him. Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Pathetic, but at least he never knew this. She also pointed out that she has deactivated her Facebook page since meeting Wiener through the social media site. It's trouble. She wrote, I could have told her that. Yeah. What have I said to her on
this? She's a sex farm woman. That's
Facebook,
why we need to play
the source of all
sex
evil.
Sex farm woman. I'll rake and hoe you down. Sex farm woman. Yeah. Spinal Tap. Anybody?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way,
can you be about penises? That's all I want to know. I don't...
Pretty specific.
Yeah.
You can be pretty specific.
I mean, I know they're like snowflakes.
They're all yeah.
Right.
They're all unique and special.
Right.
When they melt,
they're all unique and magical.
They melt when they hit the lawn.
Don't say
there's significant shrinkage.
Yeah. When things get cold.
That is wow.
Yeah.
That is magical. That is a. Wow, I've never seen a mole.
Hold still, I'm sketching.
That.
It's like the Titanic, only weirder.
47 minutes after the hour. That was a Hillary laugh.
Yeah.
Mm. Right back on the Stephanie Miller show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow. See? Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah. See?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
Whatever floats your boat.
See what you did there?
Oh, God.
52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks.
Hiya.
Continues. Jay in Virginia, you're on with Hal. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
How are you enjoying that governor's race there?
In Virginia?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's a Cuccinelli. What a joke. You know,
I assume you've stopped having oral and anal sex. Based on his instructions.
For safety's sake, just in case he sends cops to your door checking.
Just right, avoid having any.
What are you doing in there?
Let me get the long flashlight out.
Are there two separate police forces there, Jay, anal and oral?
Yeah, right. No, I don't think so. But
you have to quickly switch positions if it's the other. All right, go ahead, Jay. I apologize.
Simmer down. Let Jay talk, for God's sake.
But, you know, I mean, you know, we're talking about a man that's spent, you know, millions of our tax dollars to go after the University of Virginia because they think that we might have global climate warming.
Yeah,
well,
right.
So, you know, Virginia is like North Carolina. North Carolina is reverting back to a state of theocracy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's a shame. In
by the way, is transvaginal Bob your current governor? Is he going in the hole? What are you hearing? Because I heard that this may turn into ironically for Ken Cuccinelli being his lieutenant. No, but he may. This investigation may turn criminal, right?
Right. No, like I say, he's another one. You know, he came from Pat Roberts' university, didn't he? Wasn't he a graduate of one of those?
Yep.
Yeah.
That don't believe in science once again.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
Right.
It's a whole bunch. And our state, you know, unfortunately, our state is, you know, this fringe right. I mean,
yeah. And I heard is, I heard Ken Cuccinelli, ironically, could get caught up in that, in the Bob McDonald.
Well, he won't give the money back. Bob McDonald gave the money back last week.
And he can talk to people in prison
which,
about
by the way,
how bad anal sex is.
Just 'cause you, well, right. Once you walk, like, let's say you rob a bank at gunpoint, and then you walk the money back in last week going, oh, the cops are on my trail. Here, you can have your money back. It doesn't undo the crime. Before you still, I mean, you still, you might get a pat on the back from the community, going, "Well, that was nice of you to return the funds once you realized you were in trouble."
yes.
Sort of.
Exactly. Here's the Rolex. Sorry.
Right.
By the way, I mentioned that John McCain and Lindsey Graham on their honeymoon in Egypt. Very, very excited. Very happy for them both. Very, very magical. They arrived in Egypt together.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They had a tour of the pyramids.
So cute.
Running sharing, together
share
on, a camel.
On a camel.
Yeah, right.
They had
look
too many.
Look at me, I'm on a camel.
They had too many.
Giddy up. Giddy up.
One hump or two, John.
Wow.
Okay. Kids, they had two main messages. The removal of President Morsi was a military coup. And they
again,
the
Morsi was the Egyptian leader? That's weird. Mm.
They want an inclusive democratic process to play out in the aftermath. Here is Grampy.
We also urge the release of political prisoners. We also urge strongly a national dialogue that is inclusive of parties, including the Muslim Brotherhood. And at the same time, we expect the Muslim Brotherhood to refrain from violence.
Okay, this was not a military coup. It was a people's movement that the military aided.
Yes.
It wasn't okay. I love Lindsay, a well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham, said, in a democracy, you have to sit down and talk to each other. Well, how's about you get back here? How about you skedaddle back here and try that here?
Yeah. Actually talking. Right. Okay. It's not going to happen.
Trapes. Do whatever it is you do, Lindsay.
Simmer
whatever.
Down.
Okay.
Again.
Look at me. I'm riding a camel.
Oh, God.
By the way, I love this. After a few minutes, much of the question and answer session appeared lost in translation as reporters repeatedly pressed the senior senators on their definition of a coup. Yes, and here is John McCain.
I'm not here to go through the dictionary. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Or a coup.
Okay.
Or if the legal ramifications of using that word extend to a very specific result from the governmental body that you are actually participating in as a senator who has say over that particular action, you have to use more of a definition than, I don't know, kind of, as your justification.
And it's just a way to undermine. That's not the administration's position.
Right.
So they're just there to say, nuh-uh.
They're just there to be a-holes.
Right. Exactly. And he's there to kill bugs for Lindsay with a tissue.
Sure. Well, and it's funny that, you know, half the time he can't wait to do a gun dump in practically any country that we have an issue with, or that there's anything going on. Like, essentially the McCain plan is dump weapons in there as fast as you can to as much of a scattered group as you can with as little scrutiny as possible, and then be shocked 6 years later when some of those bullets and missiles start coming back your way.
Hal Sparks, where could we see Hal Sparks if we wanted to?
Levity Live. At West Nyack, New York, this weekend, Thursday through Sunday. Yeah, full weekend. That's right.
HalSparks.com.
And at HalSparks on Twitter.
Right,
that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Is the Stephanie Miller Show. I was just startled to be here suddenly. Startled to see both of you. I don't know what's up. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Speaking of being startled, can I have some calming music, please? Everybody calm down. Everybody please. Okay. Everybody please remain calm. Please remain calm. People have heard the news. Let's see. Like,
Deborah, you said calming music?
No more current. Current TV, our last day for current TV, the entire network will be next Thursday.
Right.
So I have, just spastic emails from people. Help! Where will you be going? So used to the AM craziness, I don't think I can live without it. When are you announcing? All right, everybody, Deborah, everybody gentle down. Everybody calm. Stay calm.
We're still on the radio.
Remain calm.
We are
okay,
radio
the
people.
Radio, okay. Next Thursday, August 15th, is the last day for current TV. Al Jazeera America will be launching on all these same channels August 20th. So I don't know if it's a soft launch or before that, or as they say in the business. Or what? But anyway, we urge you to watch them because there's going to be lots of great people on there. We will be going somewhere else for television. I can't announce yet, or I'd have to kill you. But we're currently entertaining offers, and we'll let you know as soon as we can, and we'll let you know by Facebook if it's not by next Thursday.
Right.
Okay. So there, everybody, gentle down. All right. And we had a love letter from guess who?
Who?
The gal that does our closed captioning.
Really?
yes. Wait. What's? Oh, Anissa. Anissa is her name. Steph and the Mooks. I had the pleasure of writing every word you and the Mooks say on Mondays and Wednesdays for the last year.
Aww.
Oh, yikes. I'm a stenographer, and I also do the closed captioning for your show.
So, okay, she does it on Mondays, which means she does it when the Rude Pundit is on.
Oh, boy.
Oops. Oh.
She's got to be scarred for life.
That poor thing.
I had to remind myself I was working while laughing at you, Hal, Rude, Eric, Chris, and Jim, throwing up captions of upwards of 260 words a minute.
Yikes.
Jim, don't talk really fast. She's doing it right now.
That's when you read articles. That's when you
right. She said you talk
right
much faster, by the way, when reading informative articles.
You do.
I apologize, Anissa.
Skip several consonants.
I will be reassigned to another show now that Kern is going away. I wanted to say I'll miss you providing the closed captioning for the Stephanie Miller Show. Warmest regards, Anissa. Aww.
That's so sweet.
What does Anissa write when I do this?
How do you spell? Yeah, anybody who's watching closed caption on current TV,
right.
Tell us what Anissa's writing.
Right. Or even the other sounds we have for stories of gastrointestinal distress. Does she write a WAP? Because that's what I ask you for when I'm writing my little thing.
Yes,
asking you
ask me for WAP.
I go WAP, which is that.
Yep. And then...
Which means salad bar at Olive Garden. Okay.
And then the other one I have is just called Gurgle.
What... Someone's got to call us and tell us what Anissa just wrote for. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, everybody, come on. Look alive. Let's...
Some of this stuff has got to be so hysterical in closed caption.
All right.
Like the entire teacher poopy pants thing. Oh, wow.
Right? Oh, she had to write every line of that? I got to think of some more things to do today.
So we see at the close of our calculations that the square root of 4 is 2. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be bad. Oh, jeez. Oh, holy cow. Oh, my.
Oh, okay, that's...
Yeah. All right. That reminds me, I gave a graduation speech, remember? And I messed with the girl that was signing for me.
Yes, you did.
Because they have to do whatever you say.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny. Okay. By the way, don't you love it when drunk stack meets future husband stack? This is awesome. Drunk driving charges have been filed against a southern New Jersey man who authorities say was driving a box truck that was on fire and missing its front tires.
missing its tires?
Right.
And he didn't notice.
Apparently not.
Wow. That's every Wednesday for you.
Michael Newman was hanging partially out of the cab window because of a shattered windshield when he was stopped around 3 a.m. See, nothing good ever happens at 3 a.m.
No.
No. Authorities say the truck had tree branches caught in it with fire and smoke coming.
What? How the?
Down below and no tires. Okay.
Wow. At some party.
This is awful. Man allegedly tried to sell girlfriend's baby on Craigslist for $100.
Only $100?
You can get $250.
Easily.
I did once for my friend's baby.
It wasn't your baby.
No,
you know that.
It was irritating me. It's crying during cocktail hour. Whatever. All right, fine. $250. I'll settle. A 22-year-old.
I'll get you another case of good wine.
That's awful. What kind of judgment? $100? You get a lot more for a baby. Okay, a 22-year-old man from Staten Island was arrested last week for attempting to sell his girlfriend's baby on Craigslist for $100.
Oh, wow.
He posted the following ad along with a photo of the baby on the website's Babies and Kids section, which apparently is where you purchase babies and kids. He wrote, "Hey, I have...
Hey!
Can I have some infomercial music? Hey! Hey, y'all! I have a two-month-old baby named Redacted. I'm guessing the name was actually not Redacted.
But you never know.
Right. She loves to play and have her little fun, but there's only one problem. The doctor said she has asthma, and if she turns a certain way, she can stop breathing. She's really getting on my nerves, and I don't want her. Please email me.
Wow.
That ad was quickly flagged and removed, but then he posted the second ad the next day. He says he posted the ads to get back at the girlfriend. Police say he also included the woman's number in the advertisement, and the woman reported receiving one call offering to buy the infant. $100, bargain. Yeah. With a little asthma, how much can an inhaler be?
Exactly. Wow. In the current TV Newsplexo Center,
yes,
they monitor the closed captioning. And so Kelby sent me a screen cap.
Oh.
And it just says, oh, that's going to be bad, parentheses, gurgling sounds.
Oh, dear. Can you take your organ out for me, please?
Right.
Oh, don't you hate when this happens, Jim? Boston clergyman allegedly found with a prostitute behind a cemetery.
No, dear.
That's so many levels of wrong there. Don't even really... Woo! Although when you die, you do get laid in the coffin. That's an old joke. That's a lot of stiffs there. How was that, Anissa?
And
they generally have a headstone.
Some of the monks are hooded.
Last December, Pope Benedict named Massachusetts Episcopal Vicar Arthur Coyle a prelate of honor. Mind you, the second of three Monsignor ranks within the Catholic Church. Yesterday, police allegedly discovered him with a prostitute behind a cemetery. And you know what the Catholic Church officially was like? Woo! Not a boy. Okay. Yes! High fives all around with
a girl.
With a chick. With a chick and paying for
cemetery.
It.
Cemetery.
Woo!
All right.
Bam! Nothing but net. They saw Coyle with a woman. The cops waited 5 minutes and approached the parked car where they, quote-unquote, separated the two suspects. Coyle later admitted he had offered
her... What, do you pry them apart?
Pardon?
They pry them apart?
Just
like...
Right.
Got a hose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They turned a hose on them.
This is like a joke. A priest and a prostitute walking... I don't know.
In the cemetery, yeah.
Yeah. Coyle later
Jerry
admitted...
Jerry Sandusky saying, why didn't I think of it?
Coyle later admitted he'd offered her $40 for oral sex.
$40.
It's cheaper than a baby on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Apparently $40 will make you holler.
She gets paid to do the wild thing. Right.
Of course. In the cemetery.
Coyle had been spotted a dozen times in the past, circling a neighborhood known for prostitution prior to the quote-unquote incident.
Well, that's suspicious right there if you're circling a neighborhood.
Right. Right.
What?
It was like a priest NATO. He was, you know, priest circling, looking for hookers. All right, then. Okay, Martha in Texas has some thoughts on Anissa's closed captioning. Hello, Martha.
Hello.
Hello, Martha.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Martha.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I'm a little deaf.
Okay. Me too.
I wanted to give a real good report on Anissa. She's one of the best. She spells much better than most of them. And she gets most of the words that have three words that are sound the same, but have different meaning.
Uh-huh.
She usually gets the right one.
Homonyms is what they call them.
Right, yes. Right. How does she spell this? Never mind. Okay.
Wop.
Wop sound.
Right. It's not a racial slur of any kind.
Wop.
Okay. Hello, Ms. Green in Atlanta.
Hello,
Aren't
Stephanie.
We formal this morning? No first name?
June. And listen,
oh,
I'm
June.
Very angry, and I want you to give me a chance to get on the soapbox right
All
now.
All right. Here it is.
I am very pissed that the Republicans, you know they have on the Internet where you can pull up on the screen and slap Hillary Clinton.
Hillary in the face. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that inciting violence against a political candidate that's running election? They're insulting one of the president's wives that was once the president of the United States. Yet they're raised Cain.
Oh, and that's gonna help them with women. How's that war on women going for you?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You made a very good point. And you know what I was angry about?
What?
That none of our politicians, Democrat politicians, are not raising a big stink over it because the Republicans do everything. If the president sneezes and make a song of the dance and carry on set, we need to demand our politicians. politician get up and get in Congress, raise stakes just like the Republicans can't does, and
thank
bring
you.
Up, yeah, that's inciting violence against women. Somebody do something.
Thank you. Ms. Green for president. It ain't
a what if Democrats put up a site where you got to slap Laura Bush? How do you think that would go over?
Or any woman.
Yeah.
It's like, anyway, ridiculous. She's right. Thank you for that. Oh, by the way, I thought of one other parting gift for Anissa, our close
commissioner. Oh.
What someone wrote to us, was it on Twitter or Facebook? It was a fun fact. It was a fun fact about, have you ever noticed when you sneeze?
Oh, God.
While you're taking a...
Oh,
boy.
Right. What is that called?
Okay.
Someone tweeted, have you ever sneezed while taking a... and it comes out 10 times faster? There's got to be a name for that phenomenon. Hashtag prebusing?
I don't get it. I don't know what they meant by that. What does it mean?
Oh,
I had
God.
An NBC send when he had Priebus on the phone.
Yeah.
I can't talk to you now. I'm Priebusing. Okay.
That's what Jim sometimes says when he comes in late. I'm late because I was Priebusing.
I was Priebusing. Sorry.
I had to take a Reince.
You have to Reince after you Priebus. That's for sure.
Yeah.
18 minutes. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. There should be some limits.
No, just do it.
No, whatever.
No, just do it.
Okay.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anyone.
Just don't Priebus.
No.
Just
don't. Do not Priebus, no matter what you do. Oof. Okay. I'd give anything to be a fly on the wall when the presidents of CNN and NBC got that threatening letter from Reince. Oh, please. They just wadded it up.
I do see David Brock's point, though.
Don't hear the Hillary.
I see David Brock's point in that, though.
About what?
About...
Oh, because they're assuming it's going to be some gauzy infomercial, obviously the Clintons have warts, and so...
And David Brock is right. The electorate does not need to be reminded of those warts before an
God
election.
Sakes, who cares about all that
crap? I'm just saying.
That's what we'll remember, is what a load of crap it was, is what, in my opinion. Right? What a load of Priebus it was.
Sure. Some people believe that it's a load of crap, but some people believe it.
So we had a very animated caller talking about that's the best they've got is some stupid cartoon website where you can slap Hillary across the face. That's lovely. Lovely in your war against women. Sue has sent us, did we post this on our Facebook page?
We did.
It's funny because I'm some listener, it's listener comedy, but it's not comedy, it's actual, because we've been talking about the terror alert system all morning that they used to have under the Bush administration. This is the GOP scale of how raped were you, and with different colors, but they're actual quotes from actual Republicans.
That's right.
Emergency rape, legitimate rape, honest rape, forcible rape, easy rape.
Accidental rape.
Oh, easy rape, that was Roger Rivard, that was a Republican. He said some girls, they just rape so easy.
Yes.
Enjoyable rape. That was Clayton Williams. Mm. He said, if it's inevitable, why not just sit back and enjoy it? And then the green, the lowest one, is the gift from God rape.
That'd be grapey rape.
Yes, Rick Santorum said it's a gift from God.
Grapey rape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gift from God.
Okay. Those are the levels.
That's kind of a...
That's how raped you were.
Kind
exactly.
of awful on behalf of the Republican Party.
Right. Yes, indeed. Here's what they've got. Here's the only thing they've got left is making sure people don't vote. Rick Scott has plans to resume the voter purge effort in Florida. How about that? He's planning a new effort to purge non-U.S. citizens from the state's voter rolls.
Yeah,
it's weird, although
a lot
of them are citizens. They just happen to have too much...
melanin.
Right.
Right.
Right. That's it.
By non-white citizens,
right.
She means.
Right. A move last year that prompted a series of legal challenges and claims from critics of his administration was trying to intimidate minority voters.
Well, Scott makes people want to purge, so I guess that's appropriate.
From the Department of Juthink. Scott, a Republican, preparing oddly to run for re-election next year.
Huh.
What might be helpful?
said the aim of any purge is to protect the integrity of the voter
rolls.
Right. Right.
Protect them from black people.
Right. In addition,
you are currently prevising that right now.
He's trying to prevent the integration of the... Not the integrity.
Yeah, right, right, right. Advocacy groups call the review of non-citizens a thinly veiled attempt to disqualify Hispanic and African-American voters who tend to vote for Democratic candidates. Once again, from the Department of Jethink.
Rick Scott is prebusing the voter rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, speaking of, can you load the liar cannon?
Sure.
Liz Cheney, as it turns out, as we mentioned this earlier, comes from a long line of
made the logical deduction that you are a liar.
Mm-hmm. A fib on a fishing license application, lose a Senate race, maybe.
Why is me baby Jesus crying?
Think about it, Lizzie.
Wow.
This is hilarious.
What a sack of rice she is.
Right? Salon has a great piece about this. Fishing is a big deal in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Cheney's Secret Service code name was? Angler.
Oh.
Saying, who cared about that? Nobody.
Not really. I'll never get those 5 seconds back.
Now it's a big deal in the Cheney family, so it's a big deal that Liz Cheney, who must overcome accusations of carpetbagging if she hopes to win a Senate race, well, primarily because she is a
carpetbagger. Lies! Carpetbagger. It's like you have to lie to live!
Right.
You're
a
liabetic! Right. You have liabetes! Twice a day you have to take a shot of Insulin!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she hopes to win the Senate seat from the state, apparently fibbed about the length of her residency in order to obtain a fishing license. Cheney purchased her home in Jackson Hole just last year after spending years living in Virginia.
It's usually dudes who lie about the length.
Right.
Of things.
Right. And in addition, the first fish she caught was this big.
Right. Sure.
It certainly won't help that Cheney improperly received a fishing license in Wyoming before she was eligible and was registered as a 10-year resident. Cheney denies she listed herself as a decade-long resident. The clerk must have made a mistake.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's stupid.
You lie! You lie!
That clerk was a jerk.
Why must you turn my office into a house of lies?
Mm-hmm. She doesn't deny violating a state law that allows residents to apply for a fishing license only once they've lived in Wyoming for a full year. It is a serious misstep, said a Republican strategist in Wyoming, allegedly poaching in a state where being a resident sportsman is by law an earned privilege. Wyoming people take this very seriously.
Ooh.
That's why I just said put up a campaign poster. Liz Cheney. Poacher. She's taking your fish, Wyoming. Fishing has already become an issue.
And then poaching them.
Right, in Cheney's campaign. The Republican Mike Enzi, who she's running against, is supposedly a longtime fishing buddy of her father's. She went on Rush Limbaugh's show and said, I think they may have only fished together once. Oh, you are a liar.
I do not believe your lies.
Do you think they just lie reflexively, even around the dinner table?
Hello, he lied.
That's the gravy. It's not gravy. Yes, it is. I can see it. No, it's not.
It's not gravy. Trust me, it's not gravy.
I think they're just like, you know, like that kind. We all know compulsive liars. People that lie when there's no reason to lie.
Sure. No, you don't.
Right. Yes, we do.
No, nope.
Okay. Just saying.
You're
a
bald-faced liar.
Right.
A f***ing liar.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
And a poacher.
I bet it's hard to distinguish what is possibly true at the Cheney dinner table.
I'm a liar. I'm
right.
A poacher.
Exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love it. 3 in the morning and you guys are hammered.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Christine in Cleveland. Hi, Christine.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning,
folks.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good, go ahead.
You were talking about the... Governor Gollum from Florida.
Yes, Rick Scott and his voter purge, yes.
Yes. Well, Rachel had, love our Rachel.
Yep.
She had on a woman that was a former Florida state senator and now with the Democratic Party, or worked with the Democratic Party, and then she's now working with voter issues in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that he was, He was particularly interested in the quote-unquote Puerto Ricans that might be voting.
Uh-oh,
because we know that those Puerto Ricans have every right to vote. Because aren't they like our 51st state?
They do vote. Right. Yeah, they do vote in presidential elections. Mm-hmm. And they vote for their own governor, of course.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, so I know that they have voting rights that they're being suppressed like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So there's absolutely an issue for them. But I just thought, and Rachel and this woman last night, it was really great. And I can't think of her name, but it was an interesting interview, as Rachel always does.
All right.
Does.
Well, don't feel bad about yelling out another liberal woman's name while you're talking to me. That's fine.
I
Rachel's great.
Wow. How do you transcribe that?
Why can't you be more like Rachel? I'm sorry. Those are wounds from my past. Sir, those are why can't you be more like Tracy Richards? I'm sorry.
Who? What? Sorry?
My best friend.
Ah.
Okay.
Your parents put that kind of pressure on you? No wonder you're the way you are today.
My parents.
Horrible.
Parents said, why can't I be more like Keith Richards?
No, my parents.
Yes, yes. His parents frequently said, why don't you do more heroin? What's wrong with you? You'll never amount to anything.
Keith Richards' parents were set for
life.
You're
going to end up doing funny voices. All right. By the by, we mentioned that Mitt Romney piped up, took a break from looking like a smelly hobo pumping his own gas in La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
To say, I have some thoughts.
I'm relevant.
I'm relevant, my friends. I'm super relevant.
He jumped into the debate over the GOP's future. Oh, who better?
Wow.
Warning congressional Republicans against forcing a government shutdown in their quest to stop President Obama's health care law, which
Mitt
is...
who?
His health care law, essentially. Did he finally admit that or no?
No.
No, it's not. No, Romney cares not. After Mitt Romney's 2012 loss, many senior Republicans concluded the party must moderate its image on issues such as immigration and reproductive rights. Remember? That was in the autopsy.
Yeah.
The GOP autopsy. But some GOP lawmakers have done absolutely the opposite.
Huh.
Nicely done. Good job. They've taken a left at Albuquerque.
They're slapping women online.
Right. Yeah. How's that war on women going for? They imposed new restrictions on abortion in several states. They're strongly resisting a broad immigration bill in the House. They're waging a steady assault on Obamacare, with some House and Senate Republicans vowing to shut down the government if that's what it takes to choke off the health care law that Congress enacted. These trends worry establishment Republicans, and they expose a going split in the GOP. I can't read enough of these stories.
The split in the GOP
Which
stories?
Which is more driven by campaign strategy than ideology. Well, we were talking to Hal about Peter Beinart's piece in the Daily Beast, though. It is interesting. The Democratic Party has moved to the left,
mm-hmm.
and the Republican Party clearly has moved to the right. It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2016 with all that. Anyway, he said, I know I lost. I'm probably not the first person you'd ask for advice.
She says no.
Wow. Really. Said something I agree with.
Not really meant. Exactly. But because we all learn from our mistakes, I may have a thought or two of value. Oh, well, then he has a lot of thoughts of value.
Maybe one.
Because that campaign was a mistake-a-palooza.
Yeah, it was.
I never said the 47%. Yeah, you did. It's on camera.
Yes. No, but it's a good analysis about, as you mentioned, Chris, abortion is another issue that tripped up some high-profile Republican candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we just posted on our Facebook page the Republican... it's the, emergency, the level of...
the color alert system.
Yeah, for how raped you've been.
Yeah.
According to lots of Republicans. There are different levels of...
And from actual quotes from actual Republicans.
Actual Republicans.
Yeah.
And so at the time, establishment Republicans said that, they didn't, the Aikens and who, I think I remember who they all were, the rapey Republicans. Anyway, they said they didn't speak for the party. But then this year, as we know, several Republican-controlled state governments have... and made these egregious, abortion
regulations.
So it's like
the threat level sort of thing. The different degrees of
oh, right, exactly. That's what we posted on our Facebook
orange
page.
Alert.
Yes.
Right.
One Republican campaign veteran said, Republican leadership is courting disaster here. Voters are in no mood for this at a time when the country is politically fractured and teetering on economic recovery. This is very dangerous politics. But, again.
Maybe they forgot that women have the right to vote. Maybe they just slipped their minds.
That could have. It could have. I know, exactly. And so a party that had trouble with women voters, they picture a cartoon Hillary Clinton getting slapped across the face online. That's their own, that'll help you.
Yeah, that's going to go well.
Yeah, yeah. And keep saying she's too old, because that'll help you with your old... Really, the last group, old white people, will all vote for Hillary because, we just got to stand back and let them go. All right. Oh, and let John Bolton talk more because he was always a cooler head that prevailed during the Bush years.
The administration for 4.5 years has tried to slice and dice by defining al-Qaeda as this little sliver that's hanging out in Waziristan along the Afghan-Pakistan border. That's always been a mischaracterization.
Well, you know what has not always been a mischaracterization, Jim? That you are crazy.
Secretariat building in New York has 38 stories. If you lost 10 stories today, it wouldn't make a bit of difference.
Right.
This kind of mindless creation of the United Nations as something different from what it's in the United States' interest to do isn't going to sell here or anywhere else. The only question, to the United States is what's in our national interest. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that is the fact.
That was always my favorite thing, that little horse noise he did when he would get really mad.
I don't think that was him, though.
No, because he was talking at the same time.
Yeah, he was talking at the same time, so I think it was someone else in the room.
Oh, yeah. But remember his crazy mustache would kind of fly up? He'd be like... Mm-hmm. Remember they would sort of flap up when he got really red and animated?
He kind of looked like a schmoo.
Right.
Sorry, you know that blobby thing with the little mustache?
Oh, right.
The schmoo?
Yes. Right. What's that from?
Dr. Seuss?
No.
No?
Hmm. Lil Abner? But it also made an appearance on some episodes of the Flintstones for some reason.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah. All right, now let's move on.
People know what a schmoo is.
Okay. You get our point.
Yes. It's something you put on your fmut.
I always wanted to just, it looked like a fake mustache. I wanted to just go, that's not a real, you know. Sorry, is it?
Kind of like Natalie Wood when she pulled on Santa's beard in Miracle on 34th Street.
Right. Exactly. God,
what?
This is just a crazy train of references this morning. Okay.
You do know that Natalie Wood played the child in Miracle.
Of course I do.
She does now.
Right. Yes, she does now.
All right. Look out, everybody. Tough Oprah's here. Tough Oprah sat down with troubled Lindsay Lohan to tape the actress's first post-rehab interview. Mm. Let's see. Oh, there is a...
Did she flee the interview?
No, she did not flee the interview. I bet she wanted to. A tiny teaser arrived on the web. Are you an addict? Asks Oprah sternly. I think Oprah may not have been paying attention. Oprah maybe did not do a lot of prep for this.
Oprah's been busy
Oprah might be slacking.
She's been busy filming her movie. Right?
Lohan is traveling with a sober coach. Don't even think about getting one of those for me. And is asking.
Yeah, we'd be fired if we got you a sober coach.
I'm your sober coach. See, I don't second half of sober. You're the one that's got to be sober.
You know what? Actually, that's counterintuitive. You could make John Boner your sober coach, and that would make you sober up because you'd be like, is that what I look like when I'm...
I'm your sober coach. And if you stop drinking, you're going to turn orange.
See? And she's asking that all alcohol be removed from whatever hotel she's staying
good.
In.
It's from the entire hotel?
Remember when the guy that owns the show did that to us?
Yeah. There used
right?
to be
we
a
flew through an
there.
Ice storm to Columbus. And we get there, and
there's
literally...
a hole where the minibar used
right
to be.
Right, you could see the carpet was all
the
clean.
The lighter patch of square carpet, yeah.
Right, he literally had our minibars removed. Controlling bastard.
He did that in Denver, too, when we went there for the Democratic National Convention.
Cheap bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Controlling bastard.
So upset.
I'm like, I wonder what was there.
Okay, so this can go.
Okay, we don't need that kind of thing on this trip. Hi, I'll be your sober coach.
Some lucky guy got two mini bars.
Hey!
Jackpot!
Woo! Party! Hey, what's going on in the room next door? Hey, you got my mini bar! Okay.
Two mini bars equals one maxi bar.
Lindsay and Oprah part two.
Oh.
Lindsay will not be going to Europe for a 3-week vacation like she planned because Oprah convinced Lindsay that she would relapse. We're told Oprah called Lindsay multiple times over the last 24 hours. Oh, God. I'm sorry. That's got to be a little annoying. Oh, dear God. Really, Oprah? What?
Yeah, if you're on your sobriety tour, France is probably not a good stop.
No, probably not.
They, like, hand you a bottle of wine when you step off the plane there.
Oh, it's Oprah again.
Voilà une bouteille de vin.
Okay. Wow, meeting your boyfriend's mother can be nerve-wracking, especially if she's Diana Ross.
God.
Please call her Ms. Ross.
Oh, thanks.
Yuck. She seems warm. Ashley Simpson, who is dating Evan Ross, met Diana for the first time in L.A. Saturday night, we're told, and is alive. So I guess it went fine. Okay. I just report the news out here in Hollywood.
I can't imagine dating Diana Ross's offspring.
Stop. In the name of love. 45 minutes after the
hour. She would be a little controlling.
Right?
I think she'd butt her nose in.
You can't hurry love.
No.
A little bit.
Yeah. You cannot hurry love.
No.
I'm sure she told her that.
Yeah.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
How long have we worked here?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. When the president comes to town and does the Tonight Show, it is confusing with the traffic. I've got to get the spinning class, and I don't know. See, it becomes
Californians.
The Californians.
Californians.
What you need
do
to do is...
Do we have that bit?
No, we don't.
Okay.
You go down...
right.
You cross... you go...
right.
You turn... You go straight past the light and turn left... And Alameda, which becomes Riverside,
right.
And you take that all the way down.
Right. I do not think there is a way to get to Cahuenga without going on Barham.
Never go anywhere without the Californians' GPS.
You know, I want to get to that place that sells Mexican country-style chairs.
We're going to take San Vicente to where it curves into Wilshire, to the 405 North and up to Mulholland.
What? At this time of day, it's going to be jammed.
Okay, I can recalculate the route. So you can take Santa Monica to Sunset and Laurel Canyon to Ventura, which would totally take you by that stand that sells fresh tangerines off Van Nuys.
Oh, dude, I changed my mind.
What?
I want to go to that scented candle shop in Melrose. Look, take Pico to the 110, then to the 101 Begoff of Vermont.
I'm afraid I can't allow you to do that.
What are you doing?
This route is too important for me to allow you to recalculate it, Dave.
What?
Daisy, give your
in. Totally not cool, dude.
The Californians GPS. Don't let your GPS put you on Beverly Glen because you don't want to end up in Encino.
No.
No. Oh, dear God, no. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. All right, thank you for that. Ooh, there are scented candles on Melrose. I got to find out where that is. I love scented candles.
Sure. I'm at the Urban Outfitters there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay, Jim.
I think there's an actual candle store in Melrose.
I just heard radio snapping off around the country.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Jim in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Stephanie. Can I apply to be the official recovering alcoholic of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Well,
whatever. Every party's got its pooper.
Well, it's 22 years for
Quitter.
Me. This,
22 years.
This
wow.
July, so hooray for me.
Congratulations.
The reason Oprah would ask...
See, Kathleen Madigan told us this week, she doesn't like it when people say congratulations on quitting smoking because she's not happy about it.
Well, you know what? I don't blame her. I'd like to go back to smoking. Anyway. The reason... Oprah asked Lindsay about that. It was just to get her to admit it, because that is step one of the program and getting into recovery and getting over,
right.
Or getting at least a deal with it. So even though it seemed like an obvious and kind of an obvious question, I mean, it was for her sake.
Well, it's Oprah's tone. She can make you priebus no matter what she's asking, just with her tone, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, exactly.
She has magical powers.
Exactly. Are you an addict? I'm sorry. I priebused. Okay. What? All right. Looky here. Will this fix the... I cannot get enough stories about the ailing Today Show. I don't know why. It's nothing but drama. It was great. The first live report that Ann Curry had to do. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. That was kind of icy.
Awesome. Awkward. Okay. See, Jackie Schechter and I, we reenacted that because we're actually BFF, so we reenacted it if it were awkward between us and icy. In Battle Today Show anchor, Matt Lauer is taking a top-down approach to the issues. Issues meaning him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Taking show staffers out to lunch twice a week in an effort to boost morale and encourage a team atmosphere. There's no I in team, everybody.
No.
They're like, oh, we got to go eat with Matt again. Matt, what?
It'd be like going out to eat with you.
Can you imagine if I made you guys go to lunch twice a week?
God.
You just say no. You wouldn't even go.
I got a best of to run or something.
I'd like to foster a more inclusive, nurturing environment with all of us. What are you guys doing for lunch?
Inclusive.
You totally.
If it's not
you would make up different excuses. You actually wouldn't even bother with excuses. Just go
no,
bitch.
Hell no.
Hell to the no.
Why would I want to see you any more than I have to outside of work?
You know, when you force us to come to your parties on the weekends, I always come up with.
And I try not to do that often because I know. Like they don't
you will be there.
I try
you will
to be
at the party, and you will enjoy it.
I try to be very judicious.
You will have fun.
Because I understand there is an implied threat when I invite you.
You will have fun now.
That's the very German way of having
it's
fun.
It's a trap. Would you like to come to my house? No. No. All right. Bitch, I can find
would you like a job?
I would like that. Yeah. All right. Well. A source said, Matt wants to hear from producers and other staff about ideas for stories to cover concerns they have. Here's our concern. You're a hole. That's our main concern.
Bring Ann Curry
or
back.
Or any other issues. Oh, here's another issue. You're a hole. Oh, look. Travis says he'll go to lunch with me. Oh, because I don't pay him enough to afford lunch. Shut up, Travis. Yeah. Want to go to Olive Garden? Salad bar, all you can eat.
It's the bottomless salad.
Oof.
That's bottomless.
And then you become bottomless from blowing your bottom off.
In a completely unrelated story, Al Roker.
Speaking of.
Oh.
Who once did a duty in his pants in the White House.
In the White House.
I think he maybe overshared. I don't think he needed to mention that. Because he's had the gastric, you know.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know why he mentioned he dutied in his pants at
and
the White House.
And left the underwear in the...
In the trash can.
The trash.
Right, as you do.
Well, you couldn't really flush it down the toilet, I guess.
Today's author, Today Show, see? Anything about the Today Show is awesome. Today Show veteran Al Roker hit the snooze button one too many times on Tuesday. He completely slept through his 6 a.m. early morning show.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Up with Al. That's the other one.
On the Weather Channel, right.
Or Snooze with Al.
It's the first time he has ever. I've done it a couple of times. Yeah. You called me to say what you doing?
What you thinking?
What you doing? I'm like sleeping. You're like, because it's 6:00. I'm like, no! Ah! After 39 years, it happened, tweeted Roker. I overslept and I missed a show.
Ah. So they're bringing an Ann Curry to vamp?
Yeah, the Weather Channel.
Oh, that would get huge ratings to watch. You're going to have to go through 3 hours without with Matt Lauer. That'd be the ing awesome. Okay, everybody has advice for the Biebs.
Sorry, who?
Bieber.
Ah.
Yeah. My advice, don't pee in mop buckets in a restaurant. Don't be a douche.
No.
Mark Wahlberg has warned Justin Bieber not to be so naughty. He said, it was during a web chat. He said, Justin, are you listening? Don't be so naughty. Be a nice boy. Pull your trousers up. Make your mom proud. And stop smoking weed, you little bitch.
Did he really say that? That's kind of funny.
Yes. He said he's a teenager living in a different day and age. I was in prison before I got a record out, and I don't think he's been to prison. He's a nice enough kid. You're going to be a teenager, but if you're being a teen in the spotlight, you're going to be criticized for it. This career could be short-lived. You might as well be the best you can while you're doing it, so stop being such a little bitch. Which, ironically, is the exact same thing that Today Show staffers told Matt Lauer at their last lunch. All right, that's it for us today. That was just magical, wasn't it? All right.
That was a good show.
I'd like to thank my paid friends, Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward.
And Anissa.
And Travis Bone. Oh, and Anissa. No, well, she'll be here next week, right? No?
She will be, yes.
Yes, all right.
Okay.
We'll think of some more really nasty stuff to say to make her closed caption. All right, we will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.